Good to be with you, and if you could turn, I don't have to waste any more time with bits and pieces. Turn to Psalm 118. 118, we're going to think about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the cornerstone. We're going to think about the reference to him as the wonderful stone which the builders refused, who has become the head of this corner, which we find as a quotation in Psalm 118. It's a long psalm, so we'll just read from verse 17 through perhaps to the end of the psalm. It does begin, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever." But taking it up at verse 17, this is the Psalm of David, and he says, "I shall not die," verse 17, "but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me sore, but he has not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, I will go into them and will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation." And then the two verses that will be our focus this evening. "The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Now we have here a clear prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, here in the Old Testament, and we will see it later fulfilled in the New Testament. It's good to know some scriptures because the Lord Jesus Christ also referred to them during his ministry amongst his disciples. So who is this Messiah, this one who was sent, this anointed one, Jesus Christ himself? But it is a strange thing that he didn't say he'd come as a great and mighty champion, riding on a white charger with a host of people behind him. No, he gives himself this description by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in David's words here in Psalm 118, verse 22. "The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes." And so this is the Old Testament springboard for us tonight to guide us from Old Testament prophecy to the New Testament fulfillment. So let's look first of all at the prophecy in the psalm, because we have here a famous prophecy of the humiliation and then the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ in his sufferings and the glory that should follow. And David, as he writes this psalm, is probably thinking of the bad way that he had been treated by Saul, and he was cruelly mistreated. He was the stone which Saul and his courtiers rejected. "We don't want David, we want to kill him, we'll chase him." But it was by the wonderful providence of God, the protection of God, that advanced David to be the headstone of the building. He was this founder of the Jewish people that brought about the temple in Jerusalem, where the Ark of the Covenant was made, was laid up, and it became that central place of worship. The principal reference is the Lord Jesus Christ here, not David himself, but certainly he was an example. And so we have, first of all, Christ's humiliation. He is the stone which the builders refused. And so we can think of an area where stones are being produced, being prepared for the building of a temple, of a great edifice, great stones cut out of the side of the rock. And they come to this stone and they see it will not have done. And they cast it to one side. But he is a stone, our Messiah, not only for strength and firmness and duration, but also he is building a spiritual temple. And each one of us, as believers, are stones in that temple, being built one on another. And the cement that joins us together is love, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this stone, therefore, that is spoken of here in the psalm, is a precious stone, but it's also a foundation stone. And yet, this headstone was originally refused by the builders. So this stone rejected by the builders, who were the builders? Well, the rulers and the people of the Jews, as we shall see later in Acts chapter 4, where we see an application of it. They refused to own him as the stone, the foundation, the Messiah who was promised. He was there, he was real, he was showing the evidence that he was indeed the Son of God. He declared it, he demonstrated it, and yet they refused him, just as the builders refused the stone, that particular stone. And they would not build their faith on him or join themselves to him. They wanted to go on in their building of their nation without him. They knew that he would come, but they didn't see him, recognize him when he came, and they rejected him. They rejected him even in the presence of Pilate when it came to the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will not have this man to reign over us. We do not want him. We have no king but Caesar. They trampled on this stone, the Messiah. They threw it out amongst the rubbish of the city. In fact, they stumbled at it from the disgrace to Christ. And my friend, this is the first word of application, really. And that is those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. When he is presented simply, plainly to them, to their hearts, to their minds, yet when they reject him, it's a terrible thing for any human being to deliberately refuse the Lord Jesus Christ and to trust him for the salvation of their sins. They are presented with the gospel. They are given it in the preaching of the word of God, in the churches, the chapels, and the open air, and the places in our land where the gospel is proclaimed, that the Lord Jesus Christ is proclaimed as the Messiah and the one that will forgive sin. But Jesus was humiliated so that we, his people, should not be humiliated. He went through that suffering. He went through that substitutionary sacrifice so that we won't be humiliated one day on the day of judgment, that day. But those who deliberately and willfully say, I will not have Jesus Christ to rule over me. And my friends, each one of us, before we were converted, were in that position. It's not that we didn't like him, but we wouldn't have him. We wouldn't submit to him. We wouldn't believe in him. We knew about him, but we did not trust him. We rejected him. We were rejectors of Christ. We will not have him to rule over us, to be our Saviour. And yet the Lord, by his grace, has come to us. And we do know that stone. That stone that the builders rejected has become the head of the corner, and he is our Saviour. But others who refuse and reject him will bear the consequences on the day of judgment. So that's a humiliation, but it led on to his exaltation. Because he has become this one who has refused the headstone of the corner. He has advanced to the highest degree, both of honour, to be above all and in all in all. He's the chief cornerstone in this foundation of the wonderful edifice of the temple that is being built. He is the head. He is the chief topstone in the corner, in whom the building is completed, and who must in all things have the preeminence as the author of our salvation, the finisher of our faith. Why? Because he humbled himself to his Father. He humbled himself, and yes, he has now been highly exalted. And so we must make him the foundation of our hope. On whom are we resting? Where is the foundation of our Christian lives? Is it on what we do? Is it what others perhaps have done? Or is it in what Christ has done? It's only what Christ has done that makes the difference. He is the foundation of our faith. And so we can say to meet and live is Christ, and to die is gain. Jesus is the one whose name is high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall and devils fear and fly. Yes, he is our foundation. His name is a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. So it's humiliation, it's exaltation, but then we can see in this text the hand of God in it all. This is the Lord's doing, verse 23 says in the Psalm. It is from the Lord. It is with the Lord. It is a product of his counsel. It is in his plan. And both the humiliation and the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ were his work. He sent him. He sealed him. He equipped him. His hand went with him throughout the whole undertaking of him coming to the womb of the Virgin Mary, of living a life that was perfect and righteous from the very beginning, from the very first to the last, he did his Father's will. The hand of God was in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is God, of course. His name is wonderful. The redemption that he wrought for us is the most amazing of all God's works of wonder. We know in Scripture that the angels desire to look into it, to try to understand it, this work of salvation. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And we who believe in Christ, we have received the blessings of God's plan. Yes, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvellous in our eyes. Is it marvellous to you, my brother, my sister, to be founded on that stone of Jesus Christ? Well, then we've got into the Psalm, but there are confirmations of this, because this psalm is, and this particular couple of verses are quoted quite often in the New Testament, and there are implications from it. Even the Lord Jesus Christ referred to this text in Psalm 118. So first of all, if you want to turn over to Matthew chapter 21, having looked at the message of the psalm, let's look at the first New Testament confirmation, which is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Matthew 21, verse 42. Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvellous in our eyes, there's a quotation. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, speaking to the Jews now, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Jesus takes this quotation and applies it to the foolishness of the Jewish people, the Jewish rulers, who were rejecting him. Now, he just told a parable in chapter 21 of Matthew, if you've got open before you. In verses 43 to 41, he spoke about the owner of a vineyard who sent his servants to collect produce from the tenants, but the tenants beat and killed the servants. And they did likewise with a second group of servants, and finally, the owner sent his son. And they killed him too. And that parable was a sad comment on the history of Israel's leaders. Not all the people, of course, but rejecting the prophets in history, and then finally rejecting God's son. But then Jesus moves me into quoting Psalm 118 in this parable about the rejected stone. And here's an important point, that the Lord Jesus thought of this psalm because there's a linguistic thing here. The word in Hebrew for son, he sends his son into the vineyard and they'll kill him, is ben, very simple word in Hebrew. Stone is even, and it rhymes with ben. And it's a play on words leading to an important point, because this psalm is the last of a series of psalms, what we call the Hallel Psalm, Psalms 113 to 118, that are always read at the conclusion of the Seder feast, that is the Passover feast. as families gather together to remember Israel's deliverance from Egypt on Passover night. And Psalm 118, that we have read part of, praises God for his deliverance of Israel. Israel was rejected in the sight of their enemies. But Jesus is both the ultimate Israelite and the ultimate leader of Israel. He is the King of Israel. And so he uses this psalm to illustrate something, that as he speaks to these people with this parable, that through the leadership of Israel has rejected him as their Messiah. In fact, he is the chief cornerstone of the nation. He is the chief cornerstone of the nation. In fact, it's not scriptural literature, but rabbinic literature referred to the leaders of Israel as builders. They call themselves builders. We're building a nation. And the word cornerstone may refer to either the foundation stone that usually gives a building its dimensions, starts. All buildings have foundation stones. Often by tradition, we can put a foundation stone and everything else is measured according to it. Sometimes at the corner of the other. Or it can be the keystone holding up an arch. If you have an arch, you need one final stone to come in and cause it to stay still. So he's either the foundation or the stone holding together the entire structure of Israel. But as he is both, we don't need to decide the exact meaning of the word. Because it says in here in the psalm, it is marvellous in our eyes. Marvellous. Or in other words, an unusual and a wondrous and unexpected thing to think about. And it reminds us somewhat of Isaiah 53, where that question is there in verse 1. Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who has believed what he has heard from us? That a rejected and a crucified man should turn out to be the Messiah of Israel. And our eyes and our hearts should turn upwards to this dear Redeemer tonight, each one of us, all the Christians around this table. Our salvation should be marvellous in our eyes. It is a marvellous, marvellous thing. Our redemption is nothing short of a miracle. We who are dead in trespasses and sins have been made alive by the miracle of grace, the miracle of salvation. We who by nature rejected the Messiah, we have by grace been brought to him. And that's a wonder, an absolute wonder. So that's a confirmation in Matthew. Next, there's a confirmation in Luke's Gospel. So over in Luke chapter 20, we find in verse 18, these words, whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. We might think about that. Or it will crush him, which is actually a reference to Isaiah 8. Isaiah 8, verse 13, says this, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear, let him be your dread. He shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. This is Isaiah 8. A stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel. What is Isaiah talking about? He's talking about Judah and he's talking about Israel. That they would be in for a terrible thing to happen in the future. It would be a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and among them many shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Yes, the coming of the Messiah, the humiliation, and all that went through, the Lord Jesus went through, became a crushing thing to many. And not only is Jesus a rejected stone who becomes the most important stone of all, but that very rejection will lead to serious consequences. So as we're back in Luke, Luke's Gospel chapter 2, 3 from verse 25. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And it's that account when Jesus is brought to the temple as a baby by his parents. Luke 2, 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Ghost was upon him, And it was revealed unto him that by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, when the parents brought in the child Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took him up in his arms, and blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yes, even a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So here's Simeon, prophetically speaking, of the fall as well as the rising of many in Israel. The stone would bring this about, this foundation stone, this precious stone, and then the opposition that would happen. And the passages we've looked at so far spell out that more clearly. Interestingly, just as it is marvelous in our eyes, there's a gospel quotation here of Psalm 118. Here is Mary and Joseph marveling at what God has said through Simeon. Marvelous, they marveled in their hearts. The same Greek word in both cases for marvel. Luke 20, verse 26, they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer. I'm just going to go to one other passage. I would have more to say, but it's just to tell you there's something more. But in Acts chapter 4, we find something very special that Peter speaks to a group of leaders. In Acts chapter 4, verse 5, it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And then, in verse 11, that's open before you in Acts 4, he refers to Psalm 118, saying, This is the stone, speaking of Jesus, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. At this point, Matthew Henry comments, He was a stone offered you to be put in the chief place of the building, to be the main pillar on which the fabric might entirely rest, but you set it at naught, you rejected it, you would not make use of it, but threw it by as good for nothing to make a stepping stone of it. But this stone is now become the head of the corner. God has raised up this Jesus, whom you rejected, and by setting him at his right hand, has made him both the cornerstone and the headstone, the center of unity and the fountain of power. No other name, indeed. No other name than Jesus' name. And so as we think of this, we can concentrate on Christ, the Savior, this one to whom coming as a living stone, as Peter writes later in his own first letter, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And then he says it to us, and here's the application for us. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, here it is again, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. Mm-hmm. Precious. But unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. And so as we close, faith in our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the stone, the one who to others was a stumbling block. There is a thought about how the tempest, the storm comes and beats at any house. It's been quite tempestuous today, hasn't it? But a man on whose house the tempest beats and who fears the foundation perhaps is insecure and leaves it to seek a safer position. Well, the prophet of the Old Testament says that the foundation on which Zion was reared would be so firm that if a man trusted, that he would have no cause of being let down, lost, nor abandoned, if he trusts on this foundation, this stone, this lively stone. Because on Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is clinking sand. And so, my dear brothers and sisters here, even though the storms of fear and of sadness and concern can surround us, we have alarms about things that happen. Strong faith in Jesus the Messiah, the stone, the foundation stone. We have a sure foundation for our faith. It's not tenuous. It's not something that depends on us, it depends on Him. We have faith in Him. In Christ, the cornerstone, who is a capstone. He's everything to us. He is solid, He's secure, He'll never fail us ever. And we who believe have no reason whatsoever to be ashamed of this confidence in the firm foundation, who is Jesus, our Messiah. He is strong, He's dependable, He's solid. And even more than this, He's given Himself for us, forgiving our sins, cleansing us from all unrighteousness. And so we can worship and praise Jesus Christ, our Messiah, our strong foundation stone, and the rock, He who is absolutely solid. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.